It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're with us. This is the Virtual Bible Study for October 5th, 2006, and we're glad that you're with us. The number to call to be a part of the program tonight is 931-381-4567. The email address to use, hopefully for just one more week, is vbsquestions@gmail.com. vbsquestions@gmail.com is the address to use tonight. Questions@collegeview.com probably won't get through to us, so try vbsquestions@gmail.com. My name is Greg Gwynn. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is here. Just back from a trip, Dad, and hopefully you're thinking a little bit clearly, more clearly than I am tonight.
It's good to be with you on the Virtual Bible Study, Jacob. Looking forward to it. We always enjoy these times on Thursday night. We know we have a number of regular listeners, and we appreciate you. If you are a regular participant in this Bible study, if you're listening for the first time, we're glad that you found us, and hope that you'll enjoy what we're doing here and make it a point to join us on Thursday nights. Tell others about it. Spread the word. As we comment frequently, we think the program is better and better the more input we get from those who are listening. And so if you have a comment, please give us a phone call, 931-381-4567. If you're some people have the problem that you may have your phone line tied up with your dial-up connection. If that's the case, dig out your cell phone and call us, or send us an email, Jacob. And as you said, we're still battling some website woes, but we're getting a little closer to being right. And so we want to use the address VBS, like Virtual Bible Study, vbsquestions@gmail.com. That's the best way to get to us tonight. So vbsquestions@gmail.com. Jacob, I sent out an email just a little while ago to remind some of our folks that we'd be on the program here, and I erroneously said we were going to be talking about the use of the tongue, but what we're going to talk about instead, which I think is a very important subject that we've never addressed on the Virtual Bible Study, has to do with our giving and the kind of things that are taught in the Bible concerning contributions we make to the Lord and His cause.
You know, it is interesting. Throughout time, God has expected His people to be giving people. And that is a concept that really is foreign to us as humans, and especially in the society that we live in. We're told that we should gather up as much as we can for ourselves, to enjoy it for ourselves. But God expects His people to be giving people, Dad. There's a lot of benefit to us in our spiritual life to be giving people, especially giving to God and to His service and His work. We want to talk about that on the program tonight, our responsibility in giving to God.
Well, as you said, Jacob, all throughout the ages, God has required His people to not only give, but to be sacrificial in the way that they give in service to Him. And we could go all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 4 when we read of the first sacrifices that were made by Cain and Abel. They were expected to give and give of the best that they had. And that sets the tone for what we read throughout the rest of the Scriptures concerning how a person should give, the kind of sacrificial spirit that a person ought to possess when it comes to doing the will of God.
Under the law of Moses, the people were told to tithe in Leviticus chapter 27, beginning in verse 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. We see, Dad, under the law of Moses, that the tithe or a tenth of the increase was given to God. That may be a large percentage in some people's mind, but that's what God required of the children of Israel. And it is no different today, Dad. God still requires his people, if they're going to be pleasing to him, to be giving to him and to his service.
That's exactly right. We see a lot of emphasis. You know, sometimes we get the impression from people that they think God wouldn't care. God does not care. He is not interested in such matters. That's just sort of beneath the God to be concerned about money or things people would give. But it's clear in the Old Testament that a lot of emphasis and actually a lot of detailed instruction is given concerning what they were to give in sacrifice to the Lord. Of course, in the New Testament, we live in the New Testament era, and our law for religious service today is found in the pages of the New Testament. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, just one of the places we want to be talking about tonight, we'll just introduce it by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So we see instructions like that. We're going to be talking about those instructions as we study this subject tonight. But clearly there's instruction to give.
Certainly there is. And we've got to make sure that we're giving. That failure to give, as God has instructed, Dad, has consequence. It always has. You know, back in the story of Cain and Abel, God was pleased with one of those sacrifices, not pleased with the other. God will be pleased or displeased with us based on how we give.
That's right. In the Old Testament times, when people failed to do what they were expected in the matter of their sacrificial giving to the Lord, there were strict penalties in place for that. In fact, in the book of Malachi, the prophet spoke about the children of Israel and how they had neglected their sacrifices, and that God was actually angry with them and had turned away from them because of that. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." And so the people of God then were not doing as they had been instructed, and God put a curse upon them. He was angry. He said, "You've robbed me of what was expected." So again, to those who think that God wouldn't care and that this is a subject that really is not that important, and we really even shouldn't be stressing it, because we shouldn't be stressing the subject of giving, because God just is not that interested in it. That's a mistaken notion.
And it is true for us as well today. If our giving is not in accordance with God's will, we'll be violating God's will, and a violation of God's will, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, tells us that that is a sin when we transgress the law of God. God has given us a law to give. If we don't give as he has instructed, as he desires, we'll be guilty of sin, and there'll be consequences to pay. What do you think about giving? We'd like to hear from you. The number to call is 931-381-4567. We'd love to hear from you on the phone tonight. Or we'd like to take an email from you. The unique email address to use on the program tonight is vbsquestions, all one word, vbsquestions@gmail.com. What do you think about giving? How should we give? What are some things that we should avoid when we give? Any pitfalls that you see in your giving? Any areas and things that you have to be careful about as you give? We'd like to hear from you on the program tonight. Dad, what about our giving? How should we do it? You know, the Bible has prescribed a pattern for us to follow in our giving, as the pattern has been laid out in all of our worship to God and all of our service to God. God has laid out a pattern in our worship to him, and giving is no different. We are told, given a pattern in the New Testament on how we should give to God.
Well, we could just start out, I think you suggested, Jacob, about a pattern. We could start out with something as simple as, when should we do our giving? And I just read a minute ago, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, which says, "On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him stores, God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." When Paul was instructing the church at Corinth in a matter concerning them making contributions, now the contributions were toward a specific need. There was a benevolent need in the churches in Judea, and specifically in Jerusalem, and to address that need, the churches were to contribute. But they were told to make such contributions on the first day of the week. Now, that's the only information we've got in the New Testament as to when these contributions were collected. Therefore, since we don't have any other information, since that establishes an exclusive example, in other words, they're not examples of doing it other days. If there was an example or command for them to take up contributions on Tuesday or Thursday or any other day of the week, then we could not insist on a Sunday only pattern. But since the only thing we have is the church is giving the instruction the church is to give on the first day of the week, then that's what we do. And someone might say, well, that's sort of straining at a gnat, but that's the authority. To take up a collection on a day other than that would be without authority, and we just simply can't do that. Many of our denominational friends, when they have church meetings throughout the week, they'll take up a collection anytime they have people together. And we would argue that that is a thing done without authority.
Well, it just is a simple matter of, do we have authority for it or not? We have a specific day specified in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2.
16.
From 1 Corinthians 16. And so to do it on any other day is to do it on a day that hasn't been specified. We know that the first century church gave on the first day of the week, and if we're going to follow the pattern that is set forth there, we've got to do it on the first day of the week. As you said, Dad, any other day is unauthorized without authority. It's no reference to it in the New Testament.
That's right. Now, maybe we've got somebody listening tonight who's from a denominational background, and you're used to contributions being taken up throughout the week, various days of the week, and maybe you think that's okay. If so, give us a call or send us an email and present a line of reasoning or an argumentation as to why that would be acceptable. We'd like to hear that. We're saying we don't think we could do that. That's just not authorized. Therefore, we're not going to do it. If you're out there listening and you think that maybe is being too picky, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you.
Well, Dad, if the first day of the week wasn't mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, we wouldn't have a problem with taking up a collection on Friday. But since it is specified to take up the collection on the first day of the week, then that is what the pattern that we've got to follow, because that's the only example or instruction that we have is for the first day of the week.
The verse that we so often reference, Jacob, is Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that expression, in the name of, means by his authority. So if someone said, now, we're together on Wednesday night, and we're going to take up a collection, the question that someone should ask, or really the question that we should all ask, is where's the authority of that? If we're going to do it, show me in the scriptures where we're authorized to do that. And, of course, that wouldn't be possible. It's just not there. So some might think that that's being a little bit too picky, but that's how picky we need to be if we're going to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's take a break, and when we get back, we'd like to hear from you. Send us an email to vbsquestions@gmail.com or call us at 931-381-4567. How should we give? What are some instructions you believe that we should be following as we give? What are some guidelines that you use in your giving? How do you determine what to give, how to give? Or what are some dangers, some temptations that we face in our giving, some challenges that we must overcome as we give to God so that we can give to him as he would like us to give? Give us a call, 931-381-4567. Send us an email, vbsquestions@gmail.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hello, everyone. I'm Britt Haynes. I'm a member of the College View Church of Christ. A lot of people in the religious world today tell us that as long as our heart is right and we truly love God, we can do whatever we want in our service to Him. They say that what we do doesn't matter because God is only interested in our heart. I believe they have it all wrong. True, God is interested in our hearts, but He's also interested in our actions. One reason why is because our actions describe the true condition of our heart. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 34, when he said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So I believe that if we are doing whatever we want to in our service and are not serving God exactly like he has asked, then our heart is not right before God. The members of the College View Church of Christ are committed to making sure that both our hearts and our actions are pleasing to God. If you're interested in doing the same, we encourage you to join us for worship this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
I'm Troy Smith, and now I'm 13 years old.
I'm Mike Smith. I'm Troy's dad, and we love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study every Thursday night.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the Virtual Bible Study every week. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad you're a part of it tonight. If you're just joining us on the program tonight, we're talking about giving, our giving to God, and some guidelines that we should use in our giving. What are some pitfalls to avoid? What are some ways that we should be giving in order to be pleasing to God? We want to hear from you on the phones tonight at 931-381-4567, and we want to take an email from you tonight as well. The email address to use on the program tonight is vbsquestions@gmail.com. That's vbsquestions@gmail.com. George up in Ohio is called. Hello, George. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, brother.
George, where are you from in Ohio?
I'm from Bowling Green, Ohio.
All right.
Just south of Toledo.
Okay. Way up there.
I've called before, and I listen constantly as a member of the body of Christ. I just wanted to give you a little contrast tonight because I want to reveal one thing about myself. I was baptized out of Judaism in 1947. So I want to give you a little contrast here, if I could.
Okay.
Under the Old Testament, of course, and you're perfectly correct in going to Leviticus 27 chapter. But when you total up all the giving that the Israelites were compelled to give under the law of Moses, it amounted to about 37-38%. They gave not only 10% of their increase, but they also gave 10% of what they possessed. Now, keep that in mind while I make this contrast. The contrast is, and that was only without the redeeming blood of Christ in the picture yet. Now, we have come to the New Testament where we have this side of the cross. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ. And how much more is this worth in giving? And I might cite what Paul said in the Second Corinthian letter about the little poor little church of Berea, how they gave first of themselves. And when he told them in the Corinthian letter, that ninth chapter, that let each man do according as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. When we compare, brethren, the Old Testament requirements that was made to Israel and how much they gave, and it was a tremendous amount, really, they were compelled to give. But that was without the redeeming blood of Christ yet.
What you're saying there, George, is that we serve under a better covenant with better blessings and better promises, and if they were expected to give at such a level, why would we think that we could or should even think of giving less or even the same? We ought to be striving to give even more.
Amen. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ, and how much better should and more appreciative we should be of the blessings that God has given to us.
I think you're exactly right, George, and I appreciate those comments. It's very interesting to talk to someone who comes from a Jewish background. You see that side of it very well, and then you, as you said, you see the better blessings in Christ, and so we should be a people who rejoice and actually appreciate the opportunity to give abundantly.
Right. Hey, George, let me ask you about the Jewish practice today. Do they still practice the tithing like is prescribed in the Old Testament?
Yeah, they practice tithing to some degree. Of course, you'll only find that probably in the Orthodox section. The Reformed Jews today are everything from equivalents to the Unitary Universalists to skeptics and agnostics. The conservative or the middle Jew probably does not, I would say, abide by that.
Well, George, those are interesting comments, and we really appreciate your participation in the program tonight and really do appreciate the insights that you provide us from that background. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And thank you, George. Thanks for listening up in Bowling Green tonight.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
931-381-4567 is the number that George called, and now that line is open, and we'd like to hear from you with your thoughts. What do you think about giving? Really appreciate George's comments, Dad, and for him listening tonight. He mentions the fact that we've been blessed abundantly, and when we get to be grudging in our giving to God, it really is a sign of ingratitude and selfishness on our part. We've got to be careful of that. We can talk about that more as we go on.
Let's talk, since George brought up the subject of tithing as the Jews did it, let's talk about that, Jacob. The tithing was a part of the Old Testament law of Moses. It was for the Jews. It has never been repeated in the New Testament. You know, a lot of people in the religious world today think that we ought to be tithing. I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with Dave Ramsey on the radio. He has a call-in program in which he discusses financial matters every day. Pretty interesting fellow, and I think he's got a lot of good points. He claims to be a Christian, but he is constantly talking about tithing. And many Christians are like him who think that we are obligated to give a tithe like the Jews under the Old Testament system were required. That's not repeated in the New Testament. We just can't find anything in the New Testament that would obligate Christians with a tithe. Now, here's what I like to say about that. I remember a preacher years ago, when I was just a kid, I remember a preacher being asked the question, do we have to give a tithe today? And his response was, oh, no. We're not under that law. We're not under the tithing law. We can give a whole lot more. And I think that's sort of the tenor of George's comments, is that we ought to be actually striving to do better than that. You know, that ought to tell us that's what God expected of them. That ought to just be a starting place for us. That ought to be a consideration of a starting place for us, and how much more we could do than that would be something to consider.
Well, we've got to take into account our attitude as we give. And if we're looking at a tithe as being a minimum that we can get by with, that if we'll give a tenth, it's going to hurt, but if we'll give a tenth, we'll be okay. And if we can just do that, then that's all that God's going to require of us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If we're coming into this thing, Dad, and looking at what is the minimum I have to do, and, well, there's that tithe out there. There's that tenth that I've got to give, so I'm going to give that, and then that'll be all that God wants from me. How can we say that we're really giving liberally and we're giving cheerfully? We can't say that we're doing that when we come to it just looking for that minimum requirement.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that, and even been teaching some about that recently, the mistaken mentality of looking for the minimum I can do. You know, just too many people are trying to figure out what's the least required. And if I can figure out just the very minimum I have to do, that's what I'm going to do and nothing more. As the people of God who've been blessed so abundantly, as George mentioned, redeemed by the blood of Christ, we should never be thinking that way. Before we go on from that tithing comment, Jacob, I want to go to a statement that Jesus made in Matthew 23 concerning the Pharisees. In Matthew 23, verse 23, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone." What I think is real interesting there is that the mint, anise, and cumin were just garden herbs. I mean, a whole year's crop of those garden herbs might just be a handful. And yet the Pharisees were so meticulous in their tithing that they would actually figure out what was 10% of that, and they would give a tenth of their garden herbs. When they brought in that crop, they'd take it and divide it in 10 parts and give a tenth to the Lord. You notice what Jesus said about that. He didn't say, "Oh, you Pharisees, you've just gone overboard. You're too worried about details. You shouldn't be concerned about giving a tithe of those herbs." No, actually, he says, you should have done that. But he says you also should have done things that are actually harder to achieve, judgment, mercy, and faith. But he says you should have done those things too. So Jesus did not condemn them. He did not say you all are straining at a point of insignificance here concerning tithing. He said it was important. And so that's how careful the Jews were, at least the strict Jews were very careful to give a tenth of even their herbs. So if they were that careful and that meticulous in calculating their giving to the Lord, what more should we be doing? We should strive to attain to even a higher level. And I sure do appreciate the way that George has introduced that concept to us.
Well, Dad, as we look at our giving and we look at what God has required from his people in the past, we see that God has always wanted a sacrifice. And inherent in the idea of a sacrifice, Dad, is it must be denying ourselves something. It must, in a way, be something that's painful, something that we wouldn't normally want to do. A sacrifice is a giving of ourselves. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, "Then the king said unto Araunah, No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver." David wanted to make a sacrifice to God. He wasn't going to offer something to God that didn't cause him to have a personal sacrifice, and that needs to be our attitude as well. We've got to make a sacrifice as we give, Dad. We've got to deny ourselves in order to be pleasing to God in our giving.
And that's such a contrast to the way a lot of people look at it. You know, many people take care of all their personal needs and wants. You know, I've got to pay for my bills. I've got, in addition to just the necessities of life, I want to go on a vacation. I want to get a new car. I want to buy a big screen TV. And so I get all those things, maybe obligate myself to big payments for all those sort of things. And then after having done everything I want, everything that is about me, then I think, well, what have I got left to give to God? That's not sacrificial. Sacrifice means that I would give at a level that means I can't do some of those other things.
I won't obligate myself to those type of financial obligations.
Maybe I can't go on vacation this year because I'm committed to giving at a proper level to the Lord.
Maybe the new car will have to wait till next year because I want to make sure that I can give to God and be in service to Him. Look at the story, Dad, or the account of the widow's mite in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, the widow who put in her two mites. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, "Truly I say unto you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for of all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." The widow put in everything that she had into the treasury. She was pleasing to God. Notice the rich people, they were putting in large sums of money. They were putting in large gifts. They still weren't pleasing to God, Dad. Yet this widow with her two mites or her two pennies that she cast into the treasury was pleasing to God. How do you suppose that she was pleasing to God with such a small gift?
Well, because it was all she had. It was truly sacrificial. She gave her whole whole livelihood or her whole living, it says. And so it was sacrifice. That's what the Lord's looking for. The Lord is looking for sacrifice. And if our giving never reaches a level where it costs us something, in other words, we can't do some other things because we're given at a level to the Lord. If we don't reach that level of sacrifice, you know, sacrificial giving, then we have not attained to the level that the Lord's looking for.
The rich people in this account, Dad, they were casting in large sums of money, large gifts, yet their gifts weren't pleasing to God because why? Because they were of their abundance. It was what was left over. They were giving God the leftovers, what they really had no use for anyways. They would give that to God, and they were so blessed, so rich, that was maybe even a large sum of money. But yet it didn't cause them any sacrifice, and therefore it wasn't pleasing to God. God requires a sacrifice from us in all of our areas of our life, including our giving.
And when you think about people who have abundance, that's got to describe us. We live in the richest country in the richest time in the history of the world. We are the most prosperous people that have ever lived, and therefore we've really got to think about this idea of just giving out of abundance, only giving things that really don't matter, don't cost us anything. Those concepts are very important for people today to be thinking about.
Let's take a break, and let's take your thoughts when we get back. The number to call is 931-381-4567. We'd love to hear from you on the phone. We'd love to take an email from you. No emails yet tonight, but we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to vbsquestions@gmail.com. Not collegeu.com, but vbsquestions@gmail.com.
Yeah, we need to get that. That's a sort of a workaround email address we're using right now, VBS, like virtual Bible study, vbsquestions@gmail.com.
What do you think about giving? What are some guidelines that you use? What are some things to be cautious about as you give to the Lord? 931-381-4567, vbsquestions@gmail.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Hello. Hey, Matt. No, I don't have any plans for Friday night. What are you doing? Oh, I won't be able to go with you to watch that movie. Because, Matt, the movie is rated R. Hey, why don't you just come over and hang out at my house Friday night? Great, I'll see you there.
Being pleasing to God means that you may have to be different than the crowd, but don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. You just might find it is easier than what you expect. A message brought to you by College U Church of Christ.
Hi, my name is Hunter. I'm 11 years old, and I love listening to the virtual Bible study.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back to the program tonight. We're glad that you're joining us on the program, and we're glad that you're studying the Bible with us on Thursday night. We hope you'll make it a plan to study with us every Thursday night on the virtual Bible study. We're talking about giving on the program tonight. How does God want us to give? What are some guidelines to use as we give? The number to call to be a part of the discussion tonight. This is a listener interactive program in which we welcome your comments. We need your comments. The number to call is 931-381-4567. Or send us your email to vbsquestions@gmail.com. If you don't participate, you have to listen to us talk the whole time, and that's not fun for anybody.
Jacob, you introduced just a few moments ago 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. And there are several things in that passage that are important for us to think about when it comes to our giving. And let me read it again. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, that passage teaches us that planning is involved in our giving, that we need to think about what we're going to give. It should be as we purpose in our heart. You know, probably the classic example of someone who has not purposed in their heart is, you know, the on Sunday as the collection is being taken up, and just before the collection plate reaches this person, he reaches in his pocket and finds what loose change he has and puts it in. He hadn't thought about it at all before that. That obviously would not be purposing in his heart. I suppose there's only a few people who do that, but I think there are lots of people who don't really think about their giving. And they don't think about it in relationship to making financial commitments to buy a new car, to go on a vacation, to line up payments on things that we have that we use for our own pleasure. And so, you know, basically it's the problem of not budgeting your money. If you're purposing in your heart and giving to God is a huge priority, that ought to be at the top of your budget. Then other things take their place below that so that you don't get to the bottom line. In other words, the things at the bottom of the budget sometimes have to be left off. And if God is at the bottom of the budget, he'll get left off. He ought to be at the top of the budget. It ought to be a conscious part of our budgeting process. I think we would probably say these days that where the King James says, as he purposes in his heart, we'd say as he budgets his money, he needs to plan for his giving to God.
You know, and we're to do this cheerfully, Dad. You know, the things that we spend money on cheerfully, we make them a priority in our budget. I cheerfully pay my electric bill. I like having hot water.
You do?
Well, sure. I like having hot water when I get up in the morning to take a shower. I like having the air conditioner come on when it gets too hot in my house. I'm glad to pay my electric bill because I enjoy the benefits of that. I make priority for that. That's top on my list when I start to plan out my budget. And so it should be with our giving as well. If we're cheerful about it, we're going to want to do it. It's going to be a priority, and it's got to come first as we plan on how we're going to spend our money.
I understand what you're saying, but I think I would argue that giving to the Lord ought to even be
certainly
at a different mentality. My cheerfulness to give to the Lord ought to be at a higher level than my cheerfulness to pay the electric company.
Certainly, but it's a priority. What I'm saying is a priority. It's not something that comes at the end of the list and I say, well, how much can I squeeze out of it this month? But it's a priority. It's got to be taken care of first because it's a priority with me, just as certain other necessities are in my life, but even at a higher level, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Now, another aspect of this giving is concerning the ratios, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but in 1 Corinthians 16, which we read earlier, the King James Version says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So our giving ought to be in relationship to our prosperity. And as our prosperity increases, then we necessarily should be giving more also. I'm concerned to think about people who have just been given an X amount of dollars, and they've been doing that for the last 10 or 15 years. They haven't given any rethinking to their contribution. They just give that much and never consider But the fact of the matter is they've been prospered a whole lot more than they were making 10 years ago or 15 years ago. So as our prosperity increases, as we're making more, as we're benefiting more from our jobs and from other blessings that come our way, then we ought to give more.
Exactly. It's as we have as we've been prospered, as God has prospered us, and we've got to make sure that we're giving as we should. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go back up to Ohio and welcome George back to the program.
Welcome back, George.
Well, thank you. I hate to take up time, but I just want to bring up one final point here on giving. When Paul was admonishing in 2 Corinthians letter in the 8th chapter about the Corinthians who had begun a work before and didn't finish it, and he got down into the about the 12th verse of the 8th chapter, he says, "For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according as a man hath, not as he hath not." Now, the reason I'm reading that, brother, is that the verse of the 9th chapter, which is very important, "Let each man do according as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly." I see the explicity of God's commands here. People that make oaths or pledges and can't keep them, are they going to be happy in order to fulfill those if they can't? They would be giving grudgingly, see?
That's right. You're addressing the idea, the denominational notion of signing a pledge.
Absolutely.
And then having somebody come and twist your arm to fulfill the pledge that you
Absolutely.
Made.
Absolutely. And so, you see, God's got the perfect way of giving. And he said, not grudgingly. Don't begrudge this or of necessity.
So it's to be a free will sort of thing.
Absolutely.
I'm to give of my free will. But taking into account, as you said earlier, George, all the blessings that we have, that ought to affect my willingness, my heart in the giving matter. You're exactly right.
We should be so loving of God for the sacrifice that he made for us that we should supersede anything that he had given to Israel.
I think you're exactly right. Good comments,
Thank
George. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling back. Appreciate George listening and George's good comments tonight on the program, Dad.
I want to sort of maybe open a can of worms here, Jacob, on the kind of giving we give, and we talked about planning and purposing, and as we prosper, we're to give. I'd like to get some of our listeners to comment about how do you figure, when you think about what you make and your prosperity, how do you figure your giving? Do you figure it based upon your bring home pay? Or do you figure it on your gross pay? I'd like to get some input from those who are listening tonight. When you think about what you're going to give to the Lord on the first day of the week, do you use for your considerations your gross pay or your net pay? Do you figure it on the amount before taxes and withholdings are taken, or do you only figure it on what you bring home? I think that's something we should be talking about.
Are you ready for that can of worms?
Yeah, we're open that can of worms.
All right. 931-381-4567. Throw your worm into the discussion or send us an email, vbsquestions@gmail.com. How do you give? What portion of your income do you look at to determine how you've been prospered so you know how you should give? Because we want to give in a cheerful way. We don't want to give grudgingly or sparingly. We want to give bountifully, and we want to give cheerfully. So how do you do that? How do you approach you're giving to the Lord? 931-381-4567 or vbsquestions@gmail.com.
You know, one of the things we should comment about here is that all of the instructions that we've been discussing tonight, Jacob, are for Christians, you know, those who are in a relationship with the Lord. In other words, these instructions that we've been reading, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, it was commands given to the churches of Galatia. You know, and the Corinthians were being given that same instruction, but these were Christians. This wasn't instruction. You know, if you're not a Christian, there's a lot of things you need to be doing before you need to be thinking about giving. You know, sometimes people maybe visit a religious service once a year, and when they do, then they get their wallet out and they throw some money in the collection plate, and maybe it gives them a false sense of some kind of security that they've done a good thing, and therefore God's going to credit them. You know, sort of like God has has a point system, and they get points in the system if they put a few dollars in the collection plate, but they've never even yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything we're talking about is for people who are Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you need to think about that first. Get those kind of things in place, and then we can talk about the right attitude and the right kind of giving.
God's instructions on giving are to Christians. So, Dad, we wouldn't want to just set up a booth out by the highway here in front of the building on Sunday morning and say, it's Sunday morning, give your money to the Lord, and just stop cars in the middle of the road, maybe stop out here at the traffic light, as some groups do, and have a boot or something that people put their money into, right?
Right.
We would limit that to that's something, a work of the Christians, as we see in the New Testament.
Exactly right. And the reason for that, and I think we need to get into this, we might introduce this before we get to our last break, Jacob, but the reason for this giving is that it is the means by which the work of the Lord is accomplished in local congregations. In other words, when we work as a body of believers, the way we obtain funds to do that work is by this first day of the week contribution. We want to talk about that a little bit more, but let me get to an email. See, an email popped up here. Jimmy writes in and says, what if God gave us 10 times the amount of what we gave to live? In other words, take your contribution. I think what Jimmy's saying here is take what you gave last Sunday and multiply it by 10, and would you be happy to live on that much? Could we live on that amount? This will help us to judge, somewhat judge, and see if we are giving what we should. Just a thought. I think he's got a good point there. In other words, what'd you give last Sunday? Somebody said, I gave my usual $10. Okay, then you got $100 this week to live on. That's the total that you've got. You got to make your house payment, your utility payments, and buy gas for your car, and you got $100 because you gave $10 last week, and you're going to get 10 times that. You only have 10 times that much to live on. Most people, I'm convinced, I think Jimmy brings up an interesting point, I'm convinced a lot of people would not be happy if they had to live on 10 times what they give on Sunday.
Good point, Jimmy. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate that comment. I think the real thing to think about here is, how does God give to us? Does God give to us grudgingly, Dad, or sparingly? Absolutely not. God gives it to us bountifully. We need to be emulating that in our giving. Yeah.
We got another email from Phil up in Nashville. Phil, we're glad you're listening tonight. Glad you're out there listening to the virtual Bible study. And he asked this question: can you address the question of accepting contributions by debit card or bank draft as opposed to check or cash? You know, it's kind of interesting. I just heard Dave Ramsey on the radio this afternoon talking about that. Apparently, some churches are now accepting credit cards and debit cards for payment of their pledges and contributions, and Dave Ramsey was opposed to that because it's the idea of going in debt to make a contribution. You know, in other words, he thought that that was just counterproductive to the way we ought to be looking at our money. I don't know if I he was speaking purely from a financial point of view, probably the problem with that is that it indicates that we haven't done proper planning. If I have to put it on my charge card, in other words, I have to borrow money in order to make a reasonable contribution, it probably indicates that I have not been budgeting and planning and purposing what I should.
Good point. As far as Phil's question about debit cards or bank draft as opposed to cash or check, I guess there would be some personal opinion there on that. If it's just just another way to transfer the funds, it'd be similar. But
a charge card,
right,
wherein then I'm going to let that go on my charge card balance, and I'm going to pay interest because I can't pay it off when it comes due at the end of the month. Then I've actually gone in debt to make a contribution when I should have been planning.
Laying by in store, as we've been instructed. All right, thank you for that question, Phil, and for listening tonight. The number to call is 931-381-4567. Send us your questions or comments to vbsquestions@gmail.com. We'll take one more break, and then we'd like to hear from you, Dad. Remind our listeners what you asked them, the can of worms that you tried to open up a few minutes ago, nobody's biting on.
I want to get some input. What do you calculate your giving on? I don't know if calculate's the right word to use, but when you consider your prosperity, when you make your plan for giving, do you base that upon your gross pay? That is the total amount that before your taxes are deducted, before your withholdings are taken out, or do you figure what you give just based upon your take-home pay? Just what your check actually turns out to be. I'd like to get some input on that.
All right. Send us your comments. Let us know what you think. vbsquestions@gmail.com or call us 931-381-4567.
Don't go away. We're coming right back after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
I'm Arthur Haynes from Culloca, Tennessee, and one of my greatest highlights of the week is to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to the program tonight. We're talking about giving on the virtual Bible study. I want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. If you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to come and worship with the College View Church of Christ at your earliest convenience. We'll meet on Sunday morning, Lord willing, at 9:30 a.m. for a period of Bible study with classes for all ages, followed at 10:30 a.m. for a period of Bible study, and then at 6 o'clock on Sunday night for another period of worship, and then on Wednesday at 7 p.m. with a period of Bible study with classes for all ages. Come and worship with the College View Church of Christ at your earliest convenience. We're talking about giving on the program tonight. Want to hear your thoughts. 931-381-4567 or vbsquestions@gmail.com is the way you can get in touch with us tonight.
Jay, we've got an email. Jimmy down in Tullahoma, Tennessee has emailed in to say, I always try to give the gross amount of my income. Is insurance, retirement, et cetera, a part of our income? If it is, should we not take that into consideration when we give? Now, I'm completely in agreement with Jimmy's analysis of that. You know, even our taxes, when our taxes are taken out of our gross pay, well, I've got good streets to drive on. I've got a country that's defended against intrusion by aggressive enemies and so forth, and so I'm getting a benefit. I am benefited. You know, we all complain about our taxes and we'd like them to be lower, but the fact of the matter is our taxes do provide for us some pretty amazing benefits. We live in a wonderful place and it's funded through the taxes, and so the way I think that it should be properly looked at, we make that gross amount. Now, part of our gross amount is spent to benefit us by way of the government and the taxes they take. Now, we think our taxes are wasted sometimes, but still, we benefit by what we have provided through the government, paid for by our taxes. And so, I'm in agreement with Jimmy that taxes, insurance, retirement, and every other thing that is deducted from our pay before they actually write a check is still a benefit that we receive. And so I think when as Christians we think about our giving, we should base it upon our gross income. I don't know if anybody else has got an opinion on that or not.
Send us an email, vbsquestions@gmail.com or 931-381-4567. Thank you, Jimmy, for sending in your comments. Appreciate those. You know, Dad, as we talk about that, I think it goes back to the concept that we're not to be grudging, we're to be generous and to be to reap bountifully or to sow bountifully. And so if we're not going to be grudging, we're not going to worry about whether or not those taxes truly do benefit us or not. We do see benefit there. That's a prospering that we enjoy, and so we ought to be giving on that amount.
Yeah. We got another email where someone says they give they're giving on the basis of gross income. Any other way is giving crumbs and what's left over to the Lord. I think that's right too. If you don't agree with that, send us an email or give us a call. If you think that we are maybe going overboard to say you ought to consider giving on your gross income. If you think that's a mistaken idea, give us a call. But I agree with those emails. I think that's the right way to look at it.
What do you think about our giving? 931-381-4567 or vbsquestions@gmail.com. Why do we need to give, Dad?
Excuse me?
Why do we need to give?
Well, that I wanted to go back to that. I mentioned that briefly, and then we went to some emails. But we give in order that the local congregation that we're a member of can carry on the work that God has given for local congregations, for his body in local places to do this work. We have collective work to do. And we've talked before, and we've had some programs, Jake, where we talked about what is the work of the church, evangelism, edification, a limited role in benevolence. And the way that the church is to obtain funds for that is spelled out there, I think, in 1 Corinthians 16. Now, I've had discussion with some folks, and I think it's important to point out, we understand that 1 Corinthians 16 that we've made reference to tonight was instruction as to how the church at Corinth was to obtain funds to do benevolence. There was a benevolent need in Jerusalem, and Paul instructed a laying by in store on the first day of the week. It was a collection for the saints in Jerusalem, and nobody's denying that. We understand that the immediate context of 1 Corinthians 16 was for that benevolent situation. But what I think we have to do is we have to use that as the information on how we obtain funds to do any authorized work of the church. We know, for instance, that it is authorized for local churches to support evangelism, to specifically pay the preacher. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14 says, the Lord has ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Those of us who are gospel preachers particularly like that verse because it proves that it's right to pay the preacher. Well, how are we going to get money to pay the preacher? There's not any place where Paul says, now concerning the collection for the preacher, as I have given order, so do ye on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store. There is no such passage that talks about collections to pay the preacher, but we know the preacher is to be paid. So how is the local congregation going to get money to do that work? Well, we take the information from 1 Corinthians 16. That was the benevolent situation that was addressed in 1 Corinthians 16 was an authorized work of the church. And the way they were to finance that was by the first day of the week contribution. Therefore, take any other authorized work that the church has to do, and the way that we would come by funds to do that work would be the same. In the absence of any other information, of any other pattern, then that would supply the information as to how we would finance any authorized work of the church. So the question you ask is it an authorized work of the church? And if it is, then the answer as to how we fund it is first day of the week contribution.
Very good points. What do you think? 931-381-4567 or vbsquestions@gmail.com. Dad, the authorized works of the church we need to review are authorized by God, and the church is authorized to spend money on those works. Those are evangelism of the lost, edification of the saints, and benevolence for those who are needy. We see those as works of the church, Dad, and the church is authorized to spend money in any of those three authorized areas from God.
That's exactly right. But again, the explanation we're offering is if it's authorized, then it requires funds to accomplish this authorized work, then the way we get those funds is by the first day of the week contributions. We have no authority, Jacob, for instance, to obtain funds by some other money gathering system, some other way of obtaining funds. We might think of some examples of what denominational groups and others do.
Well, bake sales, raffle tickets. Some churches are in business to provide for the financial needs of the congregation. They go into business in order to make money. They make investments. They invest in property and in mutual funds and even the stock market. In order to make money for the church, we don't see any authority for that. as George mentioned in his call, the forced giving or the pledging that people in denominations do. We see that there's no authority for that. There's no authority for requiring a set percentage from the members, Dad. That is a personal thing that we're to, as we have purposed in our heart, we're to give. So we just don't have authority for anything else than just the giving of the saints as they have purposed in their heart on the first day of the week as they've been prospered.
Exactly right. There's another can of worms that we could open, and we're almost out of time, but one of the things that has happened more so in recent years than ever in times past is religious groups investing, maybe even investing in the stock market in order to reap a return on the investment to use to do their work. And I would have to say that there's not any authority for that either. You know, the church is not authorized to fund its work by making investments and gaining a profit on those investments any more so than for instance, being in a business enterprise. The church is not authorized to be in a business enterprise to fund its work. And it's not authorized to gain money from investments to do its authorized work.
There are churches of Christ who are, call themselves non-institutional, conservative churches of Christ who are involved in that type of...
I've known churches, that, and we're not just talking about maybe drawing minimal interest on a bank account. I've known of churches that would even invest money in mutual funds in the stock market and draw a return on that investment to do their work. And that's just not authorized. That's not, you can read the pages of the New Testament through, and there's no authority in the New Testament for churches to get finances for doing their work by way of investment, profit making. It's just not there.
It's not there. If we can do that, we can do anything profit making wise, Dad. We could open a business with the funds if we're allowed to do those type of ventures. We just don't have authority from the God's word on that. Well, Dad, our time is up. Had a good discussion on our giving. You know, Dad, God has always required that his people give to him, and he's required that that giving be sacrificial. We need to understand that God requires the same from us today, that he requires us to give to him, and we need to be sacrificing as we give. And as we make those sacrifices, though, Dad, it's important for us to remember that we need to make those sacrifices cheerfully. We need to be happy for the opportunity to sacrifice for the Lord, give cheerfully, and give liberally to the Lord, not grudgingly. God loves a cheerful giver.
Exactly right. There's a lot to think about concerning giving, and we hope that we've touched on some things that will be an encouragement to everyone to think seriously about this. It is important.
There should be room for everyone to grow in this area, Dad, I think. Something we need to do some self-examination on and hopefully improve our giving so we can be more pleasing to God. Dad, thank you for your time tonight. Enjoyed the study with you.
Well, we always enjoy our Thursday night virtual Bible study, and thanks for those who are listening. Thanks for those who participated and plan to join us next week. Lord willing, we'll do it again on Thursday night.
Next Thursday night, same place, same website. Be here for the virtual Bible study. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study his inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.